Almighty Yahweh, King of the universe, we thank you so much for affording us another opportunity to come before you to hear your word. Father Yahweh, we ask for guidance, Almighty Yahweh. All your people, we need guidance, and your servants, whenever we come up here, we ask that you would guide our words and help us to convey your message, what it is you want us to know and to put into practice, and those things that are lacking, and how we share with one another, and how we correct one another, and how we share our experiences, that we might all be uplifted. This Shabbat is about celebrating creation, celebrating your awesome will and your awesome power, the promises that you have for your people. Help me, O Yahweh, to be humble in the presentation. And Father Yahweh, be with all those that are struggling, having a tough time, whatever the situation is. A lot of us are going through some tough times, especially those that don't have a place to fellowship, and those that are looking for good leadership. Be with all your people on this day. May your peace be upon Jerusalem. Be with your public servants. And also thank you for all you do through your son, Yahshua. And we ask you all these things, Almighty Yahweh, in the precious name of your son, Yahshua. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So many selections and even the study that kind of lines up with what I want to talk about. A new beginning, actually taken from 1 Peter 1:18. And it's interesting, we had a baptism last week, so Brother Martin, he will know about a new beginning. Even though some of us are older in age, we're seasoned in experiences in life. When it comes to this walk, some things are different than what we learned when we were growing up. So if you want to turn to 1 Peter 1:18, I'm going to read from, I got the scriptures version, but I'll go ahead and turn there with you, give you a little bit of time there. This is a two-part verse, 1 Peter 18 and 19, and what struck me was during Passover, a minister used this verse, he said it's prophetic, and then so when I read it, I said, okay, yeah, that makes sense, and then verse 18 caught my attention. So let's read, if you want to follow along, if you want to take notes, 1 Peter 1:18 and also verse 19. It says here, knowing that you were redeemed from your futile behavior, inherited from your fathers, not with what is corruptible, silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Messiah, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless. So you were redeemed with the precious blood of Yahshua the Messiah. So that is prophetic. It happened during the Passover. And so what caught my attention was verse 18, futile behavior. I called it a new beginning because when you begin this walk, you know, in Yahshua, things are a little different than maybe what you were used to. And so I want to focus in, why is Peter saying that we were redeemed from our futile behavior from our fathers? That's what caught my attention. Why is he saying, so what did I inherit from my mom and dad? What did you inherit from your parents that was futile? What is that about? Well, there's a cross reference to this verse, and if you got the King James in verse 18, it says vain conversation. Vain conversation. What is that about? You go to Jeremiah 16. I'm going to read quite a bit from Jeremiah here. But in 16, I just want to read one verse. Later, I'll go to chapter 7. But Jeremiah 16:19, there's a cross reference here taken from that verse. And Jeremiah says there, Jeremiah 16:19. It says, O Yahweh, my strength and my stronghold and my refuge, in the day of distress the nations shall come to you from the ends of the earth and say, our fathers have inherited only falsehood, futility, and there is no value in them. Okay, so Peter is going back to this. So what was it that the people inherited? that was only falsehood. And you see here in the beginning, in the day of distress, the nations shall come to you from the ends of the earth. So how many of us have come out of the world from different, maybe you were in Islam, maybe you were in Christianity or other religions. So you came to Yahweh, and this is what your heart was crying out. I know something is not right where I'm at, and I either need to step up from where I'm at, or I need to unlearn a whole bunch of things that I picked up along the way. It's harder for older people, too, to unlearn certain things. And so this is what the people said in Jeremiah's time. And so this is bringing us hope that anyone that comes out doesn't have to be with YRM. You can learn the truth on your own, as some do. But you come out of those things that you have learned, that you recognize when you read the scriptures, wait a minute, what I'm doing is not in here. Why am I being obligated to do these things? So Yahweh respects repentant and broken, contrite hearts, as we saw last week. If you want to also, we'll read one more scripture. It's over in Colossians chapter 2. Interesting scripture here. I remember one person was very, very upset when this scripture was quoted. Colossians 2, verses 20 to 23. If you want to follow along, take notes. And Paul says here, if then you died with Messiah from the elementary matters of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to dogmas? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which are all to perish with use, according to the command of the teachings of men. That's very important. These indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed worship, humiliation and harsh treatment of the body, of no value at all, only for satisfaction of the flesh. If you go back, the first verse which touched on talked about futile behavior. First Peter, and then you went to Jeremiah, it talks about futility, no value. And then you see the same thing here. Things that the people learned there in Colossae that had no value. Now, here is an interesting question, and this is what I really want to, I want this thing to sink in, because for those of you that work, you have a job, maybe you have a career, maybe you are self-employed. Here's a question. So how would you like it if you agreed to work for pay, and when it came time to collect, you were paid with counterfeit money? Think about these things. Usually during the holidays, some people like to pass around counterfeit money. But consider this. Whatever the job was, whether it was hard, whether it was easy, you agreed with someone, I'm going to work for you, or you could change that around. Maybe they agreed to work for you, and you get paid with counterfeit money. Now, turn that to worship. You're Almighty Yahweh. You gave people instructions, and they paid you back with counterfeit worship. How would Yahweh feel? How would Yahshua feel? We talked about that a little bit in the study. So this is not like, we're not here to attack anyone, but sometimes you got to bring stuff up that even some of us, we were in, you know, other forms of worship, and we realize, you know, something just is not clicking. So I found that paganism or heathenism is not a strong enough word to convict people nowadays. When we pray, a lot of times we like to say, Abba, show me where I'm lacking. Is something that I'm not doing? If what I'm doing is wrong, show me. And if what I'm not doing, show me that as well, so I can do it. So maybe people need a lesson on Baal or Astarte, BKA, better known as Easter worship. We know that still exists in this day. Some people, it's not enough when you talk to them about Baal. They just dismiss it. When you mention to them Astarte, Ishtar, they just dismiss it. So Abba says he will not give his esteem to another. Don't be deceived. When you go before the King of the universe, Almighty Yahweh, the one who gives to you and the one who takes from you, that is a guarantee from him. He doesn't even have to tell us. He is a jealous Elohim. Sometimes we feel jealousy. Well, we get the character from Abba Yahweh. We get zealous for his Torah, for his instructions, when we see others breaking it, even ourselves, when we get caught, you know. There's no, any deity that you could think of, there's no made-up deity that ever gave up his only begotten son for the sins of the world. I haven't seen any, I haven't heard of any, and so that's another thing that we need to consider. No human besides Yahshua Messiah has ever been resurrected to everlasting life after being tortured for sins he never committed. It's said there in the study. Some are going to come and say, I'm Messiah, but they're not. They're liars. So, and another thing, at the end there, he said for us to watch. That is very key. And beginning in that prophecy, he said, don't be deceived. So we'll go through some scriptures, and hopefully the point will be made. I just want to make like 3 points. And so people make up traditions. They try to make you or coerce you to keep them as if you're rendering worship to Almighty Yahweh. Have you ever felt that way? Somebody wants you, oh, come to my congregation. I knew a minister once, he says, if somebody tells me that they'll come to Sabbath service and I have to go to their Sunday church, I'll do it. I was kind of surprised, but I wouldn't take that route. But so you see that sometimes, you know, somebody might try to coerce you like that. Now look at what Proverbs 11:18 says. Proverbs 11:18. Very interesting, goes along great with this topic. Talking about paying somebody with counterfeit money or getting paid with counterfeit money. I had that situation once at my job. Somebody paid me with counterfeit money. I had to tell them, sorry. So they got upset. Proverbs 1:18, it says, the wicked man earns an empty wage, but he who sows righteousness reaps a true reward. Isn't that awesome? You know, every time that we try to do good for one another, you know, Yahweh is taking these things into consideration. So Proverbs are not just cool sayings. As we went through the book of Proverbs, there's application there that we can do. As it was a conversation between a father and a son, you could put it as a mother and a daughter as well. Look at 2 Corinthians 11. You want to go to 2 Corinthians 11, we'll read another scripture here from the Aramaic Bible in plain English. 2 Corinthians 11:20, talking about like when somebody tries to coerce you to go another route. 2 Corinthians 11:20. This Paul speaking to the Corinthians, he's being harsh with them. He's saying, and do you submit to the one who is subject to you and to him who embezzles you? And to him who takes from you, and to him who exalts himself over you, and to him who strikes you on your face? These are very strong words. So for instance, Abba brought you into the truth. You know, are we going to all of a sudden submit to someone else who is in error? We have to stand our ground and be humble about things. So these are very strong words. Back to Jeremiah 16, you know, I just read a scripture from Jeremiah 16, but, you know, I wanted to kind of get a concept of the the context there. So I went online and I found something here from, it's a J. Philip Hyatt, professor of Old Testament, Vanderbilt University, Nashville, Tennessee, and author of Jeremiah, Prophet of Courage, Hope, and others. And this was fact-checked. So here's what he says about Jeremiah 16. And the heading is Day of Disaster. Many people out there are really big on prophecy right now because they want to know what the mark of the beast is, and they really want to try to zero in on the timing of Yahshua's return. That's not a bad thing, but let's first things first consider. It says, quote, as a prophet, Jeremiah pronounced, I'm going to read what it says here, God's judgment upon a people with false and insincere worship and failure to trust Yahweh in national affairs. He denounced social injustices, but not so much as some previous prophets, such as Amos and Micah. He found the source of sin to be in the weakness and corruption of the hearts of men, in what he often called the stubbornness of the evil heart. He considered sin to be unnatural. He emphasized that some foreign nations were more loyal to their pagan deities than Judah was to Yahweh, the real Elohim. And he often contrasted nature's obedience to law with man's disobedience to Elohim. Jeremiah had more to say about repentance than any other prophet. He called upon men to turn away from their wicked ways and dependence upon idols and false gods and return to their early covenantal loyalty to Yahweh. Repentance thus had a strong ethical coloring, since it meant living in obedience to Yahweh's will for the individual and the nation. And you know, for some of us, it's kind of hard because some of the laws that we have were geared to the Ten Commandments, but some of them are not. So there we have an issue where when it comes to obedience, we have to decipher, okay, is this the government, you know, trying to enslave me, or are they helping me? So once again, that was interesting there because it's talking about Jeremiah had more to say about repentance than any other prophet. And in the times we live in, many people don't even want to hear such word. Repentance from what? I don't even know what to repent from. So there's another situation. That was taken from the Encyclopedia Britannica, and it was laptop dated this year in 2023. Now, how is it that when we read scriptures about a stubborn people, we can relate to it? When we go through the book, we read about Israel in the wilderness, and yeah, they were complaining left and right, and Moses got upset. He struck the rock instead of spoke to the rock, and therefore didn't make it into the kingdom. How is it that we read those words and we can relate to that? The opposite is true. How is it that you read about people that it says they are blameless? And a lot of us here, we can point to one, two, a handful of people that we can say, you know, yeah, that brother, that sister, they really do. They love Yahweh with their whole heart, and they put their neighbor ahead of themselves. And you can say that they're doing their best. You know, while others, we have a lot of defects to work on. So the scriptures were written for our example. That's one of the reasons why. If Israel did it this way and it was incorrect, then we got to do it the other way. So the Apostle Peter, a special brother, a friend of Yahshua, and one of my favorites, he takes us back to Jeremiah's time. He says that we inherited natures and things that we do that were not right. So we got to try to correct them. That's why, you know, learning from one another is great. Going to the elders and asking questions is great. Abba has blessed them with special knowledge. And the good thing is some of them will even tell you, I don't know the answer to the question. I have to do some more research. And that's humbling. So we got to go to one another and kind of pick each other's brains. And so Peter tells us that confidence in Yahshua's sin-cleansing blood is more effective than putting our trust in gold or silver or any worthless idol. When I first come into this faith, I had no idea. I had no idea that you could take anything and make an idol of it. I didn't know that. Anything that you take and you give more importance to it than Almighty Yahweh, that's become your idol. Worrying can become an idol in this time. Some people can make an idol of the way they worship. That's what Paul was talking about. People were doing all these things and harming their bodies, and you know, they thought it was pleasing to Almighty Yahweh. Now, for instance, worshiping the Sabbath instead of Yahweh on the Sabbath. You can do that. Elder Randy mentioned about the feast, how some people think that we shouldn't be keeping them because Yahweh told the people in Isaiah, I think it was, that he hated their feasts. Well, he hated the way they were doing things on his time. I heard a minister yesterday, when we come to Sabbath service, are we focused on worshiping Almighty Yahweh? Are we focused on fellowshipping with the brothers? Are we like doing things on the side that have nothing to do with worshiping Almighty Yahweh on his day? Research is good, but just anything other that, you know, is taken away from your fellowship or your time with Almighty Yahweh. Remember, he only gave us the Sabbath. It comes every 7 days, so we have to treasure it as something precious, you know? So point number one is we must leave the old and the wrong behind. And somebody from the East Coast, I won't mention his name, but you all know him. He sent me a poem last time, and I wanted to share it. I think it goes well with this. It says, "Are you washed? Is you sepulcher white before the throne, but full of ravening and bone? Are your hands clean and your heart pure, but the way of your walk is still unsure? Have your eyes seen and your ears heard, but read the news and not the word? Don't be lukewarm, but rather hot, and join the brethren on Shabbat." That's Hebrews 10:25, the Mishpachah. Do not neglect to fellowship with one another. Somebody brought up the fact that, why did the writer say this? Because there was people in their times that were neglecting the fellowship. They said, "Oh, I'll just keep the Sabbath at home. I don't need to go fellowship. I'll just stay here. I'll just do my study here. Everything here." You have to go and fellowship with brother, learn from brothers. We have to rub elbows and see, you know, where we're at in our walk. You need this. I don't like this email too much all the time with certain people. I don't see them in person. I need to see them in person. I don't like this texting all the time. We need to see each other in person. That's what the feasts are for. And so Psalm 107:22, you want to take note of that. Psalm 107:22. These are scriptures. Yahweh gives us hope in the middle of telling us that maybe we're not doing so good or things are not right. "And let them slaughterings of thanksgiving and relate his works with rejoicing." So we can come up here, right? The young, the older, they come up here, they do a special to Almighty Yahweh. They thank Almighty Yahweh. Yahweh has blessed their talents. Also, Hosea 6:6, something that Yahshua quoted, and this goes perfect with the study. It says, "Because I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and knowledge of Elohim rather than burnt offerings." We can offer up all the animals we want and not know why we're doing it. And then also, we can go and do sacrifices, but yet when a brother or sister come in and they don't know the Hebrew names or they never kept the Sabbath, maybe we get harsh with them, you know, instead of being merciful to them because of where they are in their walk. And then we were there too sometimes. You know, we didn't know about the Sabbath, about the name. So I want to transition to a couple other scriptures. This is what Abba was saying when 1 Peter and also Jeremiah, the things that the people learned. Remember, they were in the wilderness with Almighty Yahweh. Psalm 106. I'm going to take verse 28. I'll go to 1 Corinthians 10 and come back to Psalm 106. If you're taking notes, you want to just follow along, read along. Look at what Yahweh said. This was in their walk with the world in the wilderness. And they joined themselves to Baal, Peor, and ate slaughterings made to the dead. They joined themselves to Baal. That's why some of us, we don't use Lord when referencing Almighty Yahweh or Yahshua because of the connotations. Now you go to 1 Corinthians 10. There's a walk through the wilderness. It says, look at Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the slaughtering sharings in the slaughter place? What then do I say? That an idol is of any value? Remember, we're talking about futility. Or that which is slaughtered to idols of any value? Things that have no value, remember? No, but what the nations slaughter, they slaughter to demons and not to Elohim, and I do not wish you to become sharers with demons. That's why we don't mix certain things. When we come up here, when we do offerings, you want to give the best to Almighty Yahweh. You want to refer to him by a title fitting of a king, a true king, an almighty who created everything through his son. So that was one lesson. Here, continue, go back to 106 if you had Psalm 106, if you had this bookmarked, had your finger on Psalm 106. We'll read a few verses here. It says, look at Yahweh gave them instructions, didn't he, when they went to the promised land. He said, they did not destroy the peoples as Yahweh had commanded them, but mixed with the nations and learned their works and served their idols, and it became a snare to them. Some verses we don't even want to read, but, and they slaughtered their sons and their daughters to demons, and they shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, who they slaughtered to the idols of Canaan, and the land was defiled with blood. Can this nation and other nations refer to this, the shedding of innocent blood in our time, just from the 1970s forward? I'm sure that was going on even way before. So that's what Abba said. That it doesn't have to be that we slaughtered our children. It just has to be that we're not right with Almighty Yahweh. That's it. That's the point, that we're not right with him, that we're not worshiping him correctly. When somebody is guiding you in the direction and you're just pushing it to the side, you don't have time right now. So the worship of idols became a tradition. That's what Peter says Yahshua's blood delivers us from all that stuff, all that baggage that we brought, that we're still trying to get rid of, you know, like when we go on a trip and stuff like that, we bring stuff we don't need. So it is a sin to offer sacrifices to other Elohim and claim they are meant for Almighty Yahweh. That's what Yahweh doesn't like. Don't give me that. Like in Malachi, don't give me those lame and blind animals. He even says, offer it to your governor. For instance, you know, you have your public officials. Go to him and offer them these things. You think they're going to be satisfied with this? You know, like maybe being disrespectful or something like that when they give you an audience, when you can actually make some good out of it. Another sin is to put man-made tradition above the commandments of Yahweh. Yeshua got on the people about this. How about this one? Changing the seventh-day Shabbat to another day is one example. Any other day, if you picked any other day besides the seventh-day Sabbath that Yahweh sanctified, he sanctified it, not us. Yeshua said he was the master of the Sabbath because he knew how to keep the Sabbath. He knew how to show mercy on the Sabbath. If you're hungry, you go to your neighbor's fields and you pluck grain, you're not breaking the Sabbath. Harvesting is what you're doing wrong if you go to your neighbor's, you know, field. That's wrong, especially on the Sabbath. How about this one? Changing Yahweh's appointed times from the seventh month to the eighth month. Isn't that what Jeroboam did? And all the kings of Israel, all of them went downhill. And you keep on reading and reading and reading, and it says there, all these kings, they participated in the sins of Jeroboam. All because he was scared. He was scared, wow, the people are going to turn their hearts back to Rehoboam, they're going to kill me. I mean, that's natural for you to be scared, right? But when you do something like this, Yahweh didn't tell you to do that. Actually, he told Jeroboam, if you do what is right, you know I'm going to bless you. But, you know, human nature took in, and sometimes, you know, that is a plan from Almighty Yahweh to punish the people later because they weren't doing it right. Point number two, get rid of idols. I remember watching family members literally worship idols. I didn't understand what they were doing. Why? Why are you worshiping this thing over here? You know? Anything or anyone that hinders pure worship. We all have family we love. We all have friends that we love. And sometimes it becomes a hindrance. Hanging out too much with this person, hanging out too much with that person. They don't have our best interest in mind because they don't know Almighty Yahweh. So we try to kind of, you know, tell them, hey, I can't do this, I can't do that because, you know, like for instance, I had to turn down a wedding invitation. Why? Because it was on Shabbat. I'm sorry, but I can't, you know. Good thing that my niece is understanding, so we appreciate that. When we go to people, we got to be humble, and maybe Yahweh will work with them on that. Really? Why you can't? Why can't do that on the Sabbath? Oh, that's why you can't do that? I had a nephew. He asked me, what makes you different? Well, I'm not going to unload everything. I'll just give you 2 points. The name Yahweh and the Sabbath. That's it. And he sat there, thought about it. Wow, okay, I didn't know that. You know, the name Yahweh was probably ringing bells, but who knows? Because if he's in the Word, at least, maybe he'll have some questions, and he's a smart guy, so we'll see what happens. Now, what about the laws of this land? The laws of this land. You know, we're commanded. We are to obey the laws of man unless they conflict with the laws of Yahweh. Remember Israel, they were making these things up as they went along. They were expecting people to be obedient, and people ask, well, where did you get this from? Well, my grandpa told me that, or, you know, so-and-so, Rabbi so-and-so, so that's why we have to do it, you know? So we have a couple examples. The Hebrew midwives, we're talking about spilling innocent blood. Well, when it came to the midwives, they said, no, we're not going to kill these babies and dump them in the river. That's not what we're going to do. We're going to, you know, help the women to give birth to them. And also, what about Daniel and his friends? Speaking about idols, Daniel was, you know, they tried to discourage him from praying to Almighty Yahweh, and his friends, they had to sit there and worship this idol. They said, we're not going to worship this idol. And they went so far as to say, even if Abba doesn't save us, we're not going to worship your idol. We're sorry. And, you know, a lot of us, this is the mindset we have. We're not going to worship no statue. I got this quote last night from this article, and I like it. It says, legal, I added the word today, but legal is not synonymous with lawful. You can make something legal, but that doesn't mean that in the eyes of Yahweh, it's lawful, and he is not going to give you a free pass. So consider that when you're making leagues with governments and so on. Acts 5:29, we ought to obey Yahweh rather than men. Unless those men are standing on the word of Yahweh, then we obey it. Let's go to Acts chapter 7. See what Stephen says. Acts chapter 7. Stephen goes back to the wilderness experience, talking about Yahshua of all people. This is he who was in the assembly in the wilderness with the messenger who spoke to him on Mount Sinai with our fathers who received the living words to give us, unto whom our fathers would not become obedient, but thrust away, and in their hearts they turned back. They went back to Egypt, saying to Aharon, make us mighty ones to go before us, for this Moshe who led us out of the land of Mitzrayim or Egypt, we do not know what became of him. And they made a calf in those days, and they brought an offering to the idol and were rejoicing in the works of their own hands. So Elohim turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it has been written in the book of the prophets. Did you bring slaughtered beasts and offerings unto me during 40 years in the wilderness of house of Israel? Yahweh is asking, who was it that you were worshiping when you were in the wilderness? We know the answer to that question. You can go back to Deuteronomy 4, Deuteronomy 17, and 2 Kings. And the star of your mighty one, Kiyun, images which you made to bow before them, therefore I shall remove you beyond Babylon. There it is. That's what Yahweh was saying. What were you doing in the wilderness? What were we doing in the house of well? Maybe it's not identical to past generations, but it's still offensive and an abomination to Almighty Yahweh. When we offend Almighty Yahweh to the utmost, as it says in the scriptures, when the sin of the Amorites was full, Yahweh said, I have to get these people out of here. Yahweh had to clean the land of Canaan. Why? Because of what they were doing. They were offending Almighty Yahweh. Yeah, but they didn't know Yahweh. You don't have to know Yahweh to offend him. We often forget that we are victorious in Yahshua. I think, matter of fact, that's one of the songs I think we're going to sing there. Some find the precious truth of Yahweh and then decide it's not good enough. Have you ever had something perfect in your hands? Something is just, it's perfect. I like it. I love it. This is perfect. Why would you put it to the side, not take advantage of it? The law of Yahweh is perfect. Why won't you use it as a ruler? We can measure ourselves against that ruler and we can quickly find that we fall short, but then that's where Yahshua comes in. He is a faithful priest. He knows what you're going through. He's been through it. He's been through it. Yeah, but he never lost a child. But you know, he never got abused. He took the sins of mankind. Were you ever tortured the way he was? For something you didn't do. I know it sounds kind of harsh on some instances. Yeah, but Jose, you don't understand. Well, I might not be able to understand a lot of your trials, tribulations, but Yahshua does, Yahweh does, Yahweh created you, he molded you, he's still working with you, he's still molding you, your character. Powerful testimony that I saw the other day, very powerful. Somebody that was in that alternative lifestyle, you know what I'm talking about. It was out there, way out there. She didn't care. And she repented. Now, she's not in our faith, but remember, some people were baptized with the baptism of John until they found out about Yahshua. So repentance, you don't have to be in the sacred name to repent from your sins. Because a lot of us, we repent first and then we find out about this truth. Like how I came to this was, I just decided I'm not going to eat pork anymore. That's it. And after that, I found out about the name. And I kept searching and, you know, you never know where you're going to end up in the plan of Almighty Yahweh. So that's a good thing. So counterfeit worship is out there, just like counterfeit money. You know, people, you never know. Somebody might try to hand you a counterfeit bill. How do you know if it's real or not? I go to Jeremiah chapter 7. I want to read from here. I read quite a few from here. My favorite verses are 22 and 23 here. I want to jot them down because it's a very, very powerful. Because Yahweh did tell the people to offer sacrifices. But look at what Jeremiah says in chapter 7, verse 22. We're talking about things that we learned in the past. Why are we doing them? Why do we have to let go of them? Jeremiah 7, 22. For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Mitzrayim about matters of ascending offerings or slaughterings. He didn't tell them about that. Exodus 19. But this word I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I shall be your Elohim, and you be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, so that it might be well with you. The wilderness experience was to prepare them to go into the promised land. And some of them didn't make it because they were rebellious. They didn't trust that Almighty Yahweh could bring them in. Yahweh's intentions was never for us to kill innocent animals. It was not. Now I'll go back to Jeremiah 7 and I'll start from verse 1 to get that context. The word of Yirmiyahu came from Yahweh saying, stand in the gate of the house of Yahweh and you shall proclaim there this word and shall say, hear the word of Yahweh, all you Judah, who enter in at the gates to bow before Yahweh. Thus said Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, make your ways and your deeds good. Then I let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in false words saying, this is the temple of Yahweh. This is the temple of Yahweh. The temple of Yahweh. For if you truly make your ways and your deeds good, if you truly do right ruling between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, or walk after other mighty ones to your own evil, then I shall let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. See, you are trusting in false words. This is where we're at in this nation. Some are trusting in false words which do not profit. Stealing, murdering, committing adultery, swearing falsely, burning incense to Baal, and walking after other mighty ones you have not known. And you came and stood before me in this house, which is called by my name, and said, we have been delivered in order to do all these abominations. If your congregation is serving Yahweh, what is he saying here? Some people are doing this. Has this house, which is called by my name, emphasis, become a den of robbers in your eyes? I, even myself, have seen it, declared Yahweh. But go to my place at Shiloh, where I set my name at first, and see what I did to it because of the evil of my people Israel. And now, because you have done all these works, declares Yahweh, and I spoke to you, rising up early and speaking, but you did not hear. I called you. Where are you at? It's the Shabbat. But you did not answer. I was busy. I shall do to this house, which is called by my name, in which you trust, and to this place, which I gave to your fathers, as I did at Shiloh. Yahweh wasn't playing. Continuing, verse 15, Jeremiah 7. And I shall cast you out of my presence as I have cast out all your brothers, all the seed of Ephraim. And to Jeremiah, he says, and you do not pray for these people, nor lift up a cry or prayer to them, nor make intercession to me, for I do not hear you. Very strong. Do you not see what they are doing in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? Now, this is interesting. If you keep Easter, pay close attention. Because this is speaking to that. The children are gathering the wood, the fathers are lighting the fire, and the women are kneading their dough to make cakes for the sovereignness of heaven and to pour out drink offerings to other mighty ones to provoke me. Ishtar, Easter, you can dress it up differently, it's still the same. You're worshiping another mighty one. Yahweh says, is it me they are provoking, declares Yahweh? Is it not themselves unto the shame of their own faces? Therefore, thus said the Master Yahweh, see, my displeasure and my wrath is poured out on this place and on man and on beast and on the trees of the field and on the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and not be quenched. So a lot of people who are putting their false hope in their homes, in their money, in their bank accounts, anything other than Almighty Yahweh, we have a picture there in Jeremiah 7, what Yahweh said he was going to do and what he did and what the people were doing, burning incense. All the whole family was involved there. And Yahweh rebukes the men because they didn't step up there. But the subject there, the Queen of Heaven, who is the Queen of Heaven? If you don't know, you have to research who is the Queen of Heaven. What did they call her? You had these people, they imagined in their mind that Baal had a wife, and his wife was Ishtar. And then they brought forth a son and whatever. So these people imagined these things. This is imaginary worship. That's not Yahweh. Yahweh is about action. He blesses you. He forgives you. He gives you a new beginning. Right? A lot of us, who here could sit here and say, oh, I'm so worthy of everything that Yahweh has given me? Never could I say that. From wherever you were at, maybe you were in the slums somewhere, and Yahweh took you out. It says that Yahweh takes people out of the dunghill and sits them with princes. Look at the fishermen that Yahshua picked. Who were they? Even Peter, he told Yahshua, depart from me, I'm a sinner. So Yahweh did exactly as he told Jeremiah. But here's the good thing. He did have mercy on the remnant, but in all of that, he destroyed Jerusalem, which is sad. It's a city. It's called by his name. That's where he's going to set up worship. You know, many of us desire to go and see the Holy Land. I'm almost done. I got like one more scripture and a couple things here. I got point number three. So the lesson is clear. We cannot offend Yahweh and think he will give us a free pass. It doesn't matter how you dress up false worship, counterfeit worship. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you cry to Yahweh, oh, but it's for the children. That's the last thing he wants. He wants us to raise up children. How? In his ways. He gave us the instruction. When you rise up, when you lie down, when you walk by the way, right? Deuteronomy chapter 6. And he even tells us, hear, O Israel. Maybe we're focused on something else. He says, listen to me. I have the blueprint for salvation. He's called Yahshua. Yahweh's salvation. Some folks have this idea that Abba is well pleased with all religions, everybody gonna make it to heaven, and with self-destructive behavior. This is something that I was pondering, and I says, you know, if somebody could give you a license to sin and you keep them in power, why not? Why wouldn't you do it, right? If you're addicted to power, you want to be in power. If I see these people, they're practicing something, and I give them a license, of course they're going to keep them in office. That's how the evil one works. 2 Corinthians 4:4 2 Corinthians 4:4. This is what happened. In whom the mighty one of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. This is why we can't reach some people. So that the enlightening of the good news of the esteem of Messiah, who is the likeness of Elohim, does not shine on them. It's like a light when it goes out. You can hit the switch as many times as you want. It's not going to turn on. You have to fix it. Right? This is a problem that many of us have addressed. But we still try to reach certain folks. But they can't come to terms. So as Peter says, you know, it's better not to come in if you're going to come in and then just go back out there. We do get frustrated with our efforts sometimes and truly saddened. Makes us want to cry. When brothers and sisters give up on Yahweh. They don't trust him no more. They don't trust us. Maybe we offended somebody. Maybe we said something, did something. And it's hard to win them back. Yahshua did say, when he returns, will he find faith? Is he going to find it? Are we going to have it? Are we going to run to the bank to get our money out? Or going to put our trust in, I'll just build a bunker over here and I'll be good? Whatever the case is, whatever you're putting your trust in. Now, he winks at ignorance, but now commands all men to repent. And just in case some have amnesia there was a sacrifice for sins committed in ignorance. Could you believe it? Oh, I didn't know that was wrong. There's a sacrifice for that. Yep. And if you were in that old covenant, in the first one, you had to do everything in order to be considered blameless. Everything. If you sinned, if you were unclean, whatever the case is, you had to go before the priest and bring that offering. You had to be accountable. If somebody brought it to your attention, oh, I didn't know, I forgot. Last point, let the scriptures guide us. I know it's tempting to get on YouTube and type in, I want to find more truth. It's all right here. The word of Yahweh. Yahshua will help you. That's why he left the comforter to help us. Right? When it's cold, what do? You get a jacket. When we're lacking in wisdom, if I don't know something, I have to ask. So, in closing, I hope that this message has definitely helped you, touched you, whatever. If Abba wants us to know something, he will show us. Many times you ask, well, why doesn't somebody know this or that? Because Abba haven't showed them. That's why. Not only that, Abba will convict us. If we're doing something wrong, he puts it there and it just burns. And you say, I have to get rid of this sin in my life right now. If it was wrong then, it's wrong now. A pig is a pig. It's no different. You could put a little costume on it. It's still a pig. That's what the scripture says. Correct in love. That's something that's kind of hard for us. Wow. Okay. We learned about that in the study. It doesn't matter how we dress it or how we justify it. Hallelujah. I hope this Shabbat message has blessed you in some way. Thank you for your precious time. We know your time is valuable, as Brother Javon says, and we want you to make the best use of it. And may Yahweh bless you.